Again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. I'm back after a long 9 weeks. I'll tell you about it here briefly. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins and precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We have an extensive inventory. We specialize in portfolio investments, building, helping people deal with wealth and capital preservation, storing your wealth in a nice, long-term, secure, private, anonymous, confidential way. Ironically, I just went through Coins Plus 444-0044, locally in Spokane, outside toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. We are located in the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, 3201 North Division Street. And as I was just saying, I just went through a long family event. My father, who had become my best friend, he's in Montana or was, and we'd spend a good hour plus a day on the phone, and he loved coins, I loved coins, and he'd become a believer about 16 years ago, completely transformed the man's heart. The Lord melted his heart over the years. He'd become the sweetest, kindest, happiest man you've ever met. He was 81. He was 80 when he fell about 9 weeks ago and got a really bad traumatic brain injury and was in very bad shape. It was a long, hard battle. They tried everything, you know, to the point where they were pumping him full of steroids and all kinds of basically amphetamines to try to get him to kind of come around. And, you know, I was all for it just to see if anything would work, and it wasn't meant to be. And then he went to be with the Lord. It was a very long, hard battle. We had to spoon feed him, and it was just real tough. And so about 7 out of the last 10 weeks I've been gone. That's where you guys have probably heard so many reruns you could throw up. But I think I'm back now. My mom's got to deal with her stuff. But anyway, tough times, a lot of growing, a lot of thinking, a lot of, changes. And it's just interesting. But it's just the seasons and the chapters of life. God's been very good, and through it all, God's kind of luckily given me a positive view of things, helped me really focus on what's good about God and God's graciousness and God's mercies and, you know, all the positive things that God provides. It's easy to get down in the dumps, and it's easy to get a victim's mentality, but we need to have the mentality of a victor. It's all, it's the same amount of time passes in life, whether you've got a good attitude or a bad attitude. You get more done with a good attitude, and God made us this way. A lot of times I think we guilt trip ourselves. We think, hey, if I'm serving the Lord, we feel like we've got to have this heavy heart of guilt. And that is not what it's all about. God redeemed us. He freed us. He gives us liberty. He is the author of liberty and freedom. He's the author of what makes this country great. Without Christ as the author of the New Testament, basically, the author of redemption, we would not have a lot of the philosophies. We wouldn't be here as a nation today. Now, this nation, hands down, is under severe stress. We are, the Trump election, there's absolutely no doubt. He said a lot of things that are reckless. And you know what I find ironic is, I think overall, we've seen the worst side of this man. Now you think about it, that's okay, because there's not much bad there. He is just an absolute business-minded robot. The left wants to paint him as somebody who can't show compassion. And I think that that's completely contrary to what the people that have been around him say. And I don't want to dwell on this a lot, but I think it's clear that, you know, they've, I mean, you know, these words like racist. I actually saw, this is where you really want to gain your wisdom. A bathroom stall in Lincoln, Montana. Okay. So there's, I know this is the wisdom that you turn to true wealth for. So there was a quote from Jefferson that basically said that every 25 years or whatever, I can't quote it right now, but he basically said that every 25 years or so that it is going to require a rebellion. He said, you know, a little rebellion now and then is a good thing. He said there's going to be many times that it's going to be required, that the blood of tyrants and patriots is going to be necessary to be shed in order to maintain a free union. And I'm going to see if I can find this real quick. I'll do a quick search. See if I can find the quote. Might make a lot more sense out of what I'm doing here. Let's see. Come on, computer. Okay, here we go. The tree. Oh, come on. I found it in the big side, but I got to find. Okay, it's something like the tree of liberty, and I don't have this, but it needs to be. It's something like the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And he's basically saying, you know, blood needs to be shed. I'm sorry, but that's just what he said. Anyway, he said that, you know, there's a price to be paid to maintain freedom. So below it, some idiot writes, "You racist, anti-Muslim, blah, blah, blah." It's so sad that some moron attacks a statement from Jefferson about the price of freedom as an anti-Muslim racist, you know, and I was just like, oh, how sad. We have gotten so ignorant that a quote from one of our greatest founding fathers is criticized as racist. And we have bounced this racist word all over so much, it is nauseating. Racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic. What is that? You know what those are? They're called opinions. And you know, what they call racism now is so far out there. Racism is a disagreement with somebody of skin color now. If a white man disagrees with somebody of color, they're either a racist or they're exercising racism. I mean, and what I find ironic is the true anti-racist, the true non-racism mindset could care less about a man's skin color. So if I disagree with Obama, the left says, "You are a racist." And I say, "I don't care if he's black, brown, white, or yellow. I really don't. I care how he's going to perform." Now, they're attacking Trump for putting all these, you know, white males into office. And of course, they ignore the white and Hispanic and Native American females and black males. And, you know, they've got like Ben Carson. Of course, they attack his appointment. And, you know, for he doesn't have any clue what he's doing. And Steve Bannon is the most radical right wing. And, you know, which he basically had Breitbart News. And, you know, folks, these are good appointments. We are definitely seeing a huge shift. We're seeing winds of change, and we're going back to a firm, solid country. Russia's made comments that, you know, that we are going to back to a more authoritarian type of a government, proving that democracy has failed. The will of the people is becoming, you know, more and more demanding of a dictator, basically, of authoritarian leadership. That's not what's going on. Trump's mindset is not to be authoritarian. His mindset is to make America great. His mindset is to run America like a CEO runs a company, to jump in the saddle and make it work, to produce numbers. Okay, that's his eyes and that's his mind. And that's good because America is the greatest, largest corporation on earth. Now, when you run a corporation, you have personnel departments, you've got to deal with people and everything. He knows all that. I think all the way down the ladder, we're going to see some good. My biggest fear is the left is absolutely ramping up the most negative, destructive narrative I really believe will ever take place in the history of the United States. I think Obama was an absolute train wreck. And I believe that the left just keeps escalating more and more and more. I remember when Bush won the election, Bush Gore, and they said, oh, now they need to take, they literally said that they need, the reason they lost was because they don't appear religious enough. And they said they were going to produce and provide classes to teach Democrats how to appear more religious. They miss the whole boat. They go move into a state of deception. They don't care what the will of the people is. That the media as a whole, folks, sincerely believes that they know better than you. And I have to admit, he is not even president yet, and they are just tearing him up. They're tearing him apart. And it's sad. And, you know, we'll have to see how things go. Do they get on his page? I mean, the stuff I've heard, and I don't really want to keep dwelling on it the whole show, but as I've been gone over these weeks watching this stuff, it's boggling to me. It just is like, seriously? I mean, you guys are really going there nonstop? The level of ruthlessness is unfathomable, in my opinion. I just can't believe it. So, I don't know, folks, but I will tell you another thing, too. Pray. You know, you hear this phrase all the time, pray for this nation. I'm saying pray for this nation. And the prayer should be, Lord, thank you for who you made this country. Thank you for who we are. You know, thank you for the freedom and liberty that we represent. And thank you, Lord, that, you know, that you've protected us against ourselves and our threats and all, you know, abroad and everything else. And I would just thank God that he did. He did provide this election. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that he endorsed Donald Trump, not because he was a godly man, but because he was the right man. And that we need to pray that that Donald Trump has the wisdom and the protection. He needs an absolute bubble around him. And we have gotten so ruthless. I mean, I hate to even discuss this. If something happened to Trump and he passed, and Pence got into office, I literally think that the left has gotten so ruthless and so cold that I think that they would be all over Mike Pence before Trump's body was even cool, you know? It's just gotten, politics has gotten so dirty and so nasty and so mean and so ruthless. And they see the attacks on Obama as the same. But you know, folks, our attacks on Obama were always about policy. My frustration with him was policy. Their frustration with Trump is personality. They are not business-minded. And perhaps when you look at half the country thinks one way and half thinks another, you know, is it a psychological thing, the way people perceive things? I obviously been in my share of debates. When I was in college, I used to debate as a young Republican. And there were times that I would see the left and the right arguing about the same thing with the same perspective, essentially, from different perspectives. It would be, for example, compassion for the poor. Okay. The difference in mindset is, the left says it is the government's job to provide. The right says it is the church's and the private individual's privilege to provide. And if you look, there's been multiple studies about politicians giving. Now, the left has begun to give more on their tax returns. You'll see it. But for years, when there was some research came out, their level of giving, the right versus the left, was astronomically different. I mean, Obama's first year in office, he gave something like $130. Well, when it became public record, then he started to change and increase that a little bit. But, you know, their idea is it's the government's job to do it all. They literally believe the government. There was, I have a relative on the night Trump won the election, and my son was with his grandmother, and she worked for the AFL-CIO, which was a, she was a administrative executive or executive assistant or whatever, administrator for the AFL-CIO, which is the union's thought bank. You know, they're basically the overseers of all the unions in Montana. And she would even describe to us how corrupt and evil and vicious that office environment was, and the way the women there treated her, and all the corruption and cheating and lying and viciousness in that office, just the heartless godlessness. And yet she couldn't see the corruption. She believed that it was because of the unions she had a job. And when Trump won, she started the racist and xenophobia stuff because she watches CNN. And she said, life is tough. And it is, and they, a lot of people believe, as she does, somehow, that because life is tough, it is the government's job to provide. Well, that, folks, is socialism. That is terrible. So we're supposed to go from our parents' home to our government's home, you know, and that is not what America is. Now, if you know, my perspective on that situation was, if you take her back and if she could get back half of all the taxes she'd paid over the years, she would have been all right. I mean, I won't deny my wife grew up in dire circumstances in the middle of Montana, out in the Saline Plains, in a literally an unfinished basement house, a foundation with a tar paper flat roof. So they built a foundation of a daylight basement. The upper portion of the house was never built. They had a tar paper roof. They had inside the house, there was four girls and two parents, and they had three bedrooms. They had open ceilings joists, you know, 2x12s and exposed insulation with wires hanging down and light bulbs hanging down and plywood cabinets. And just, it was just bad. It was just very poor. They didn't know they were poor. They didn't care. But they did live a tough life, and her mom worked two jobs and all that stuff. You know, so my wife was raised under those circumstances. So it was tough. But, you know, there was a lot of choices. There's a lot of information I could get into there. I will not. But the bottom line is, it's not the government's fault when we get into bad times. It is the government's fault to give us the opportunity to get out, to make businesses able to pay their employees more, to raise their wages, to make a profit. You know, we've got all these arguments now against his appointments for the EPA, and, you know, and people are freaking out because the guy who was appointed to the EPA was involved with a lawsuit against him. Well, yes, as one attorney general of 28 out of the 50 states he was, but all the information you get is so deceptive, and they're so afraid of losing regulations. I mean, they think every regulation of the EPA is a great thing. Unless they are involved in business, they don't know. But I can tell you from personal experience, being a developer, it is terrible. It's absolutely unrealistically, unreasonably terrible. But I'll also tell you, I've been to many third world countries. And I've left many of these countries saying, thank God for a lot of our building regulations and codes, because our properties are so much nicer. There's third world countries I've been in South America where they build cinder block walls. They run wire through the wall and then they fill it with concrete, or they run wire along the wall and just cover it in plaster and lath, and, you know, and they'll have straw on the inside, and they're just crazy stuff. So anyway, that's a little bit of this or that. We are seeing in the markets what I would call right now the Trump dump in metals, okay? This is good time to buy. This is a great time. The Dow is going crazy. Trump has not even taken office yet, and the Dow is on fire. Okay. Now, does that mean go out and buy stocks? I say, heck no. Is the Dow going to blow past 20? Apparently. Okay. This is the opportunity you want. Warren Buffett said it himself. When everyone's buying, I want to be selling. When everyone's selling, I want to be buying. Metals are having a little bit of a slump. Actually, honestly, not near what you'd expect, because they've just been kind of riding the low, making their 10 to 15% per year gains for the last 3-4 years. You know, they're hanging in there, but the Dow's running crazy. This is a time. And I'll tell you what else, folks, building portfolios. I've been doing this a long time. Been into coins for a long time. I've got a lot of great investment coins that have done incredibly well. This is the perfect time to build a portfolio. A lot of people come in, I've discussed this in the past, they say, I want gold and silver. And you know, in some cases, you know, we're a lot of believers, we got nice, strong personalities, and we know what we want. And then they buy, and then the market. We just had a guy call and say, you know, we were trying to build him this portfolio a few weeks ago, and he called and said, I wish I would have really listened to you, because I see now what you're talking about. We build portfolios, folks. You know, there are so many semi-numismatic coins that they don't go down. They don't. A lot of silver dollars are a perfect example, but there are so many more examples. They literally don't go down, and they go up just like stair steps over time. I mean, I am not kidding you. I have seen coins that have gone from $5 to $55 in 20 years, and they keep on going. I've seen, you know, all kinds of stuff. I don't want to get specific, but there's everything from nice standing Liberty quarters, nice walking Liberty half dollars, old U.S. seeded silver dollars, all the way back to the flowing hair silver dollar that our founding fathers held in their hands. We have one of those in stock right now, and they just go up and up and up and up. They don't rise every single day. Nothing does. But we build nice balanced portfolios. We give you plenty of metal. We give you plenty of survival product. Depends on the size of the portfolio. Our people do well. I mean, folks, with all these different slumps in the market, I'm telling you, our people are doing just fine. Just had a lady call the other day. She needed money for something, had no choice, and she was afraid. And when we calculated what she had, she's like, are you kidding me? I mean, she couldn't believe. In fact, that reminds me of another gal who has a huge amount with us, and she believed that the market on metals had gone down. And when we calculated her value, her portfolio had gone up 6% this year, or actually in about the last 4 or 5 months. And she expected it to be down 10 or 12. And she had put money with this quote-unquote Christian broker, and she's taken a bath while the Dow's roaring, of course. We've just done this a long time. This is not some weird, bizarre, off-the-track sector of stuff you put your money in. This is the single largest capitalized financial sector in the world. When you get into coins and precious metals, it is the single largest financially capitalized financial sector in the world. That means if you take all the gold and silver and rare coin industry globally, it's bigger than the Dow. It's bigger than the New York Stock Exchange. This isn't small peanuts, folks. This is huge stuff. There's so many people out there of such profound significance that put such immense amounts of money into it. I had a chat when I was back in Montana, believe it or not, with a billionaire who knows my family, who appeared for a while there, and we were talking about stuff. And when he began to disclose to me, and I knew my dad had told me he had a lot, but when he began to disclose to me what his philosophy was on money and how many coins and metals he owned, I was just astounded. And when it came down to a point where we believed that, my father was going to end up being in long-term Medicare or long-term care, where we would have had to eventually end up with Medicaid or whatever it is, you know, what they do is they make the one spouse go bankrupt. You have to lose all the equity in your home, all your savings. You got to spend it all yourself, and then they'll help you. Well, the nice thing about precious metals and numismatic coins and just balanced portfolios along those lines, it's all off the grid. It's all private. It's anonymous, folks. I'm telling you, if someone sues you, I'm telling you, if you have a huge medical crisis, if you have any kind of tax stuff, whatever, it is a private haven. There is no titled record. And Coins Plus, we provide private storage in our high-rated depository service, the highest-rated privately held depository service in the Northwest United States and far beyond. We do preserve a lot of people's material there. We have an extremely high security building, incredibly safe and secure, as well as well armed and protected. So I think you get my point. There's a lot going on. The buying opportunity is ripe. I think that you definitely want to pay attention to that. I think you want to take advantage of that. You know, right now, this, I'll tell you, one concern I've got right now is this blaming the Russian hacking thing. Okay, so now the game is Hillary lost. I mean, you talk about the sorest bunch of losers. I've never seen anything so pathetic in my life. They're blaming the Russians for hacking the election and tampering and providing fake news for the reason Hillary lost. Okay. What they're doing, folks, is they are preparing to censor information in the future that is conducive to their belief system. When someone asked them what, when they came out with the definition of what quote unquote fake news was, the definition became news that the mainstream media believed to be correct or true was regular news. Fake news was news that the mainstream media believed to be incorrect or phony or false or deceptive or elusive. So what they're doing now is when people come out with good behind-the-scenes information against one of their own, they're calling it fake news. This whole blame game on Russia, folks, I will tell you, you must realize there's no evidence at all. The news media will make you think there is. There's none. The director of Homeland Security or whoever, DHS or whoever was in charge of the statement said that it was most likely it was Russia. And there's no proof of Russian hacking, but they have gone so far to blame Russia in this situation. It is scary. Wikipedia came out, okay? Wikipedia had all the email hacks that they released near the election, which they're, of course, which the mainstream media is blaming on Russia. Wikipedia came out themselves and said, no, that's not, we did not get this information from Russia. They claim the Russian government is engaged in espionage against Americans and hacking American websites and American accounts of private people or institutions in an effort, as 17 of our intelligence agencies have confirmed, to influence our election. Democratic Party presidential nominee Hillary Clinton told Chris Wallace of Fox News in the third and final debate before the November election. Even though Wallace had never even asked who hacked her emails, never even asked about it. He did ask Clinton about a private speech she delivered in bankers or to bankers in Brazil, in which she said she dreamed of open borders throughout the Western Hemisphere, where she said she would like to see 600 million people be able to come to America. And she diverted and went to the Russian hacking, which we all know why, right? The hacks were not perpetrated by Russia. Do not buy that. But we need to do this right now because simply because one time Trump said, Putin's doing a better job as a leader than Obama. And away they go, lying, false narratives. You talk about false news. So we know, I mean, we know what's going on there. And here's the problem. An old Chinese proverb says, to a thief, everyone's a thief. A cheating spouse, thinks their other spouse thinks their spouse is cheating. It is just the nature of sin. The left lies. They want to win or lose at all cost, at any cost. The right, hypothetically, is moral. Hypothetically, it believes God is at the center. The left believes man is at the center. It's human secularism. Lie, cheat, and steal for the better, you know, for our leaders, our elite, know better what's right for us than we do ourselves. And that is where the battle becomes so brutal, because no matter what, it's very difficult for them to compete with the truth. The truth is very hard, but they create their own facts. There's a saying out there that says, you can have your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. I've heard the left use it so many times, it's nauseating. But you know what, folks? In all honesty, I see them doing that far more often than I see the right. And, you know, so, I mean, we're in a crux. Let's see what Trump does. Hopefully he's a wise man and does a good job. We're really hoping that. We're hoping it, and we're hoping it, and we're hoping it. You know, I did a show before I left a while ago on cultural Marxism that really broke down their critical theories of destroying the family, destroying private property, destroying religion, destroying the nation. They believe that communism is the secret. They believe that it needs to be here at all costs. Socialism. I mean, the mentality of socialism to me is just terrifying. But where's the lack of wisdom, the foolishness coming from? Our school systems and our media. And Karl Marx started this, and I'm sure if he hadn't, someone else would have. But boy, has it taken hold. We are at a position now where we are seeing so many laws created, and we're seeing just such overwhelming strangulation by regulation. And then we're seeing over, you know, 50% of our citizens at some level earning an income from the government. We've seen the breakdown of the family and the elevation of homosexuality and women's rights and women's power. And folks, ladies out there, don't take me wrong. I love women. I absolutely adore them. They are the most blessed thing God's made for man. And it's because you're a woman that I love you. It's not because you remind me of a man. And you shouldn't. And you should be proud to be a woman. But society is telling us that women and men are equal. They want men to effeminize. And they want women to defeminize. They want to make us equal, androgynous. Oh, how great, huh? And then what do? They beat us down. If you have opinions that are on the fringe, beat you down. They want to make everybody fit into this nice little molded box. Don't speak out. Be politically correct. You know, tolerate sin. You know, they're jamming it down our throats. They want to create this perfect little human secular society. And this was written about clear back. There's two books that are crazy prophetic. One, a lot of people have heard about, you know, George Orwell's 1984, where he predicted things that we deal with today that he could have never known about. You know, basically flat screen TVs and cameras everywhere and all kinds of monitoring and surveillance. And Aldous Huxley wrote A Brave New World, where he essentially defined a society of androgyny with a euphoric, otherwise a drug to numb out those that would rebel. A society of absolute lack of value where the entire society raises the children and nothing is personal and everybody is sacrificed and at an equal level. And these books were pushed by the Fabian Society. They were funded by the Fabian Society, which is a communistic Marxistic system. And this is what is happening to our society today. This is why Donald Trump is such a shocking disruption. He is there for a reason. I believe he is divinely propped up. This is why he will protect our right to bear arms for a while longer. If you look at his appointments, folks, he's a good old school boy. He's putting the right people in. Now, to the recent nuttiness that we've had under Obama, He's putting in people that look like radical right-wingers. The new term is alt-right. You know, they tie it in with the with Nazi Germany and Hitler, and it's like anybody who believes in rules of law and a solid government and God, and, you know, they always have to label and name call. It's just absolute foolishness. The anti-oil movement. I mean, all these kids are learning. Big company, bad. You know, oil company, bad. In as they drive around in, you know, motorized vehicles, everything they do, they live on electricity generated by coal. They drink water out of bottles that are made out of petroleum. But then they say it's a structural argument. It's the system is broken. And so then they can be self-righteous. They don't have to take any responsibilities whatsoever. And, you know, it's just the structural argument is not a good argument. We have got an interesting road ahead, by all means. I was speaking while I was at my father's funeral with a friend in London who I was elated to speak with, an old family friend. We grew up together. He's a little older than me, and he has moved his way up to the top of Barclays Bank in Europe. He was a VP or executive vice president of Credit Suisse. His entire division that he oversaw moved back to Barclays. Long story, very, very knowledgeable on money. Very knowledgeable. Knows Trump personally. He personally was one of the members of Barclays Bank, I think it was, that restructured Trump's casino meltdown. He was there in the boardroom, had to set up the boardroom, told me about the idiosyncrasies of Trump, told me that Trump wanted the room swept for bugs clear back in the 80s, didn't want to be recorded. He said he's arrogant and brilliant. He said he's very, very, very wise. He's very unique. No one's like him. He said he's got a level of arrogance. His attitude is he knows best, but he respects him. And this guy's in London. And we were talking, and he's been there for 21 years, and we were talking about the perception of Europe and what's going to happen to the world currencies, etc. Brexit makes sense because he says that the euro is a false speculative currency because it's a currency that's supposed to blanket numerous countries with, and every country has different laws, different economics, different interest rates. It's impossible to control a currency like that. And then we got to the dollar. And he explained what's going to happen with the dollar. The Fed, which is the most phony institution in the history of the world, the most controlling, destructive institution. We don't create wealth anymore. The Fed does. And he proceeded to explain that the Fed, he knows one of a very critical component of the Fed, a person who's deeply in ownership. They will raise rates. Janet Yellen is strictly politically driven and motivated. One, they're going to raise rates to try to make Trump look bad and make Obama look good. But the point that he made is he said they're terrified. And he said the reason that the Fed is terrified of Trump is because they know. They're afraid that he is going to, his quote was, overheat the economy. So they're going to begin raising rates to try to counteract everything Trump does. His prediction is we will be moving into a period of Federal Reserve inflation, a period where interest rates are going to rise to try to stifle Donald Trump's actions. So as he cuts taxes and creates jobs, they're going to try to ram interest rates up to make the cost of doing business too high as a counteraction towards his positive activity. And then he predicts, obviously, in the long haul, what happens is they build these interest rates all the way up, and then each time they're putting bullets in their gun because they can technically lower rates later to fuel the economy. And so when another liberal gets back in office, they will begin to pull those rates back down. It's my prayer and hope that Donald Trump figures this out and finds a way to counteract that. It would be wonderful if someone like Steve Bannon explained the currency to him. He mentioned that this friend of his in the Fed, and I know who it is, and it's a huge name. It's such a big name, you wouldn't even believe it. But I'm not allowed to repeat it. He mentioned that they've mentioned adding a gold standard back to the dollar. And I said, well, first of all, they can't do that. They won't, because it costs money. He goes, yeah, but there's a way they can make money at it. And as we discussed it, if they say, well, it's a partially backed gold reserve, okay, here's what they would do, folks. They'd say, oh, the dollar's backed by 5% gold. That gives them a right to start to gather all the gold in the world up, thereby increasing their wealth and removing it, you know, or whatever, buying it from people, buying it off the open markets, physical gold, which would put a level of demand on gold you've never seen. We've never seen a level of pressure like that on gold, folks. It would go through the mountain in price. Absolutely, unbelievably high. But the problem is, because it'd only be 5%, there'd never be a way to account for what they really had or what they really needed. They could just gather. And that is a concern of mine, because so far the Fed has it set up where nothing costs them anything to make. The only reason they would ever put out the money to gather up the gold and silver would be because it was profitable, not because it was beneficial to the American public or the dollar. In addition to that, rising interest rates will fuel another precious metals boom. I hate to think about it. I don't like the thought of rising interest rates. It's very concerning to me. But if it does occur, and it will, the question isn't how isn't whether it will or will not. It's of how much the rates are going to go up. And I can tell you, those of you holding metals and coins are going to benefit tremendously during the Trump administration. The system is against Trump. The Fed's against him. The banks are against him. You know, the system's against him. The Treasury probably won't like him. The system is against Donald Trump. And they're going to take action to defuse his behavior, to defuse his actions and his economic stimulus to their own fault, to the detriment of the United States people, its citizens. This is what they do. One bailout after the next. The level of brilliance of this friend of mine was amazing. I mean, he understands the Fed bailouts. He knows that they want to set up for another one, that they'll create another bubble. Once they start to push interest rates up, they're going to have another bubble. Now, what's coming next? What's the next bubble? $1.3 trillion in student loan debt. A degree is of no use anymore, folks. Really, very little use. A specific degree in engineering, architecture, etc., has some value. But now they've got it set up so you need more. $1.3 trillion in debt, student loan-wise. $65,000 average per graduating student. That's average. That counts. That's putting in the guy that didn't borrow any. They're now seeing medical students coming out with $600,000-$800,000. I think I spoke recently of a friend of mine in banking who said he saw his first million-plus dollar student loan debt encapsulation on a super surgical specialist. And the guy's making $2 million a year or something. Oncologists make about $2 million a year. 1.8 is their average. They make a profit, folks, on the chemicals they pump into your body. They get a commission off of all of it. It is to their benefit to poison you, and I could tell you stories about that in family situations. This is what we've done. The next bubble is the student loan. There is no asset to back it. Real estate, there was an asset to back it. There were losses, but there was a percentage of recuperation. There is no recuperation on student loans. None. So we're going to have to watch this unfold and unravel. My advice to you is to buy hard assets, precious metals-based assets. Let us build you a portfolio. And folks, despite what's going on out there, I'm going to kind of recap on the fundamentals, I call them, okay? By the way, you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus, 444-0044 in Spokane, outside toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Do not forget how we got here. We had 9/11, that pounded Bush, which they keep talking about the Bush economy. No one will ever mention what 9/11 did, which baffles me. Then, you know, when we went from Clinton to Bush, Clinton opened the door for the 9/11 event. It just on and on it goes. The world's politics and economics began a severe correction towards historical norms on September 11th of 2001. What do I mean by historical norms? What I mean is this, you know, all this contention and warfare and, you know, autonomy within these rabid countries, these rabid Muslim countries. All of this is the way the world's run forever. We brought in an era of peace through strength, through World War I, World War II, the Japan War, Korean War. We were out, excuse the term, kicking butt and taking names when people either attacked us or violently abused the civil rights of human beings. The war, you know, you think of Hitler and Stalin and all these things, folks, that were taking place globally. These kinds of leaders could come back. And no, it's not going to be from America where they try to make you think. This is where we're going now. Obama has stimulated the growth of ISIS. He did it through, you know, Hillary had taken money from Saudis just prior to taking out Gaddafi, in which case they went over and were circumrouting all of Gaddafi's weaponry, which we had given him. And we had a treaty with Gaddafi to help us to eradicate these terrorist Muslims. He was doing his job. Crazy? Yes. Hillary took money to take him down to her foundation, $12 million bribe. We were circumrouting all of his weaponry out of Libya from Benghazi to Syria. At the time, I'm not so sure we understood we were fueling ISIS, but I think we knew. When the Benghazi event went down, where our embassy was attacked, and Christopher Anderson, I think it was, or was killed, and we wouldn't mention it, we blamed it on stupid videos and all these lies, it's because we were hiding the fact that the CIA had a covert operation underway that we were not to know about. They transferred all that information or all of those, that hardware to Syria, which got put into the hands of ISIS. Obama called them the JV team while they built up because he was rooting them on. He is a pro-Muslim Muslim. He believes in radical Islam because he hates Israel. And he believed that they were building up to take over Israel. In which case, he cares less about life than his own ideology, etc. So he has been single-handedly allowing these negative players on the global scale to build up. Trump's got to deal with it. They've had time to infiltrate and infest like cockroaches. It's going to be very difficult because they're cowards. They hide behind women and children. They plant themselves in communities. They don't build an army and come out to fight. They hide and they sacrifice life for their own. They believe they're superior. And it's a sick religion, folks. It's a sick religion. This is where we are now. The current path of our central banking fiat currency system has been propelling the globe towards an imminent economic and financial collapse at an exponentially increasing pace. Our deficit, our unfunded liabilities, the amount of money we pump overseas, Obama spends $1 trillion per year overseas. Before Obama's $4.5 trillion per year budget, We were spending like $1.8 trillion. He just went full throttle. He pushed the throttle to the floor. He never proposed a budget. He didn't care. His attitude is you pay for everything. It doesn't matter. He would fight conservative issues. He literally used all kinds of political means to shut down 501c3s for conservative organizations while allowing liberal organizations and atheistic organizations to get 501c3s literally in days. I mean, the corruption, folks, is so deep and so hard. He trained the left how to fight. He trained the left in the Saul Alinsky methodology. I mean, this is what we're living under, this nonstop personal attack. You are not looking for harmony. You're not looking for symbiosis. You are looking to steal and kill and destroy as the devil does. Saul Alinsky, who Obama has absolutely praised and utilized, claimed that his number one hero was Lucifer. He admired Lucifer for his fall and his turn against God. There is something very odd about that, very evil and very dark. This is where we're at. Obama has single-handedly put us in a tremendously difficult position in this country. $20 trillion deficit, $150 or $60 trillion in unfunded liabilities minimum. That doesn't count a lot of personal and corporate stuff. That's just government. Overall, it's about a 9-to-1, $180 trillion. That's 60 grand for every man, woman, and child, $250,000 for every family. And when you think only 1 out of 5.5 people pay taxes, that's like, it's just an astounding number. That's our deficit, by the way. You can take the unfunded liabilities times about 8 or 9. So if a family has $250,000 in debt on our deficit, the money owed right now, the money owed over time is about 8 or 9 times that. So if it's $250,000 for a family of 4, it's millions, plural. I won't get into the math. I've done it before. It's just insurmountable. I was discussing this with my banker friend out of London. I said, where's this all going? He said, you know where it's going. He said, it's either bankruptcy or hyperinflation. I said, does Trump understand this? He said, I'm not sure. I said, you've met him. You know him. He said, none of this ever came up. He says, I hope he does. And he may have a secret agenda. And what, you know, let's just hope that his secret agenda is to get in there and try to break the system up. I mean, it's hard when we know the end time story and we know, you know, the collapse of Mystery Babylon appears to be the trade towers. I've kind of touched on that. It's hard to know. But what we do know is that it's inevitable. This debt issue has coated the earth. There is no hiding from it, folks. You've got to protect yourself. It's simple. Just are your assets and wealth properly preserved for the future of financial uncertainty? People are worried about is gold up, is gold down, is it this, is it that? Who cares? You put your assets away. When I was back home and my dad's passing, we're going through all this stuff. We had built a wonderful portfolio for my father and my mother, and it is a comfort, an absolute comfort. And over time, it's grown tremendously, but just a comfort. It's off the grid. No one knows. It's private. If you get into negative situations, it's yours. It's the way it's supposed to be, the way God made it. And that is why precious metals-based assets and you know, true hard asset valuables. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, amazing things, collectibles and antiques, small antiques, are not a good investment. They are. People desire value. People always say, well, when all the nukes are going off and, you know, it's Mad Max and Thunderdome, how am I going to buy a loaf of bread with that? That is absolutely not even an issue. That's not the point. The point is preserving your capital. Money is power and influence. I'm not talking riches. I'm talking wealth of any sorts. You preserve it wisely in hard assets that you can sell for a liquid value, not something that's stuck as cyber dots in the middle of cyberspace. I mean, let's face it. There's 100 different ways that can erode, and you know it. Precious metals-based assets have remained the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society throughout written human history, beginning in the Bible. These are real hard assets, true wealth, documented, tested, and true from the earliest written human history. Our government and world banks have suppressed the metals prices since the mid-1800s. And they're still doing it today, and yet we've still seen nice gains in it. That will release. Trump could be the beginning of it because Obama's been involved in all kinds of manipulation with the world's central banks to deceive the market. Trump wants to actually create activity. Obama, he wanted to lie to show false gains. Trump knows how to make it really happen. Interesting, isn't it? Our dollar's lost 99.5% of its spending power from 1913 until now. You know, we know about the average home sales prices and what they were and what they are. You know, we've got precious metals up just since the abandonment of the gold standard, about 4,000%. It's where you need to be. The consumer price index is a great deceiver. Precious metals have never become worthless. They've never lost their value. They have timeless value, folks. And 401ks and IRAs, if you got one, we can help you roll over or roll out. Folks, this is the time. Beginning of the year. Call us now. We have options that you can roll out, own the metal in your hands privately, and not have to deal with any taxes or anything like that for way off into the future, if ever. So give us a call at 444-0044 or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Through our website at coinsplus.com, we have all of our previously recorded radio shows. I beg you, take care of your finances. Be wise. Deal with what God's ordained and authorized, universally recognized and accepted anytime, anywhere in the world, private, anonymous, transportable, and immediately liquid, anytime globally. That's the why God made it the way it is. So thanks again for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll be back Monday. Bye-bye.